Chapter 13.
Another week has passed, and I am nearly well again. I have now heard all my neighbour's story, and will write the rest down here in Mrs. Dean's words.
The following Sunday, when my master was at church, I brought Heathcliff's letter to my mistress. All the windows and doors of the house were open to let in the mild spring air, and she was sitting by her bedroom window, wearing a loose white dress. "There is a letter for you, madam," I said, and I placed it in her hand. She did not look at it or respond at all. After a while, I said, "It needs an answer. It is from Mr. Heathcliff." She started and looked at the letter with hungry, eager eyes, but clearly she did not understand what it said. "He asks if he may come and see you," I said. She sighed and leaned back in her chair, but did not respond. It was clear to me that my poor mistress would never be well again. Just then I heard Heathcliff's step on the stairs. The open house had been too much of a temptation for him. She heard it too, and stared at the door with glittering eyes. Then he was by her side and had grasped her in his arms. He did not speak or let go of her for 5 minutes. He just held her tightly and kissed her over and over again. His face was buried in her hair, and it struck me that he probably could not bear to look at her face, so clear were the signs there that she was sure to die.
"Oh, Cathy! Oh, my life! How can I bear it?"
he cried in despair.
"What now?"
said Catherine, leaning back to look at his face.
"You and Edgar have broken my heart, Heathcliff, and you both come to me and cry as if you were the people to be pitied. I shall not pity you. You have killed me, and it has done you good. How strong you are! How many years do you plan to live after I am dead?"
Heathcliff had knelt on one knee to embrace her. Now he tried to rise, but she grabbed his hair and kept him down.
"I wish I could hold you until we were both dead,"
she said bitterly.
"Will you forget me and be happy when I am in the earth? Will you say, 'That is the grave of Catherine Earnshaw. I loved her long ago, but I have loved others since, and I love my children more than I ever loved her.' Will you say so, Heathcliff?"
"Don't torture me till I'm as mad as you are,"
cried Heathcliff, tearing his head free from her grasp so violently that some of his hair was left in her hand.
"You must be possessed by a devil to talk to me that way when you are dying. Don't you realise that every word will be burnt into my memory? I will think about these words of yours again and again, forever after you are gone."
He left her side and walked over to the fireplace. There he stood with his back to her, so that she could not see his face.
"Heathcliff, don't be angry now,"
said Catherine, rising from her chair.
"Do come to me, Heathcliff."
He turned to her, his eyes wet with tears. Then Catherine leapt towards him, and they were locked in an embrace from which I thought my mistress would never be released alive. It seemed to me that she had fainted in his arms, and I went closer to see if she was all right. Heathcliff glared at me, breathing heavily like a mad dog. He did not seem like one of my own species. Then Catherine put her arm around his neck and her cheek against his.
"Why did you betray your own heart, Cathy?"
he cried.
"You loved me. What right had you to leave me? You say I have killed you, but you killed yourself. You say I broke your heart, but you broke your own heart by marrying Linton, and you broke mine too. Do you think I want to live? I wish I were not strong and healthy. What kind of life will it be when you... Oh, God! Would you like to live with your soul in the grave?"
Just then I saw the servants and my master returning from church. "You must go, Mr. Heathcliff," I cried. "He will be here in a minute."
"Catherine, I must go,"
said Heathcliff, trying to extricate himself from her embrace.
"No, you must not go,"
she replied, holding him tightly.
"Don't go. This is the last time. I shall die."
Heathcliff sat down again and stroked her hair, whispering,
"Hush, my darling. I'll stay. Don't worry."
But she was limp in his arms and her eyes were shut. I thought she had either fainted or died. It would be better, I thought, if she had died. I heard my master coming up the stairs. There was cold sweat on my forehead. I was horrified. When he saw Heathcliff, Edgar went white with rage. But Heathcliff stood and said,
"Take care of her first. You can talk to me later."
And he left the house. At midnight, that night the Catherine you saw at Wuthering Heights was born. 2 hours later, her mother died. Linton's grief was too painful to describe. I believe it was made even worse by the fact that he had no heir. Old Mr. Linton had left Thrushcross Grange to his own daughter, Isabella, if Edgar should have no sons. Now Edgar's daughter would be left with nothing. As the sun rose, my master lay on Catherine's pillow, exhausted by grief, his living face as pale as the dead face beside him. I went outside into the park, where I was sure I would find Heathcliff waiting. I found him standing under a tree. He must have been standing still for a very long time, because two birds were hopping on the ground beside him, as if he were a piece of wood. When I approached, they flew away.
"I know she's dead,"
said Heathcliff.
"How did she die, Nelly?"
"Very peacefully. She did not speak again after you left. She died very early this morning. She looks so peaceful now. Let's hope she may wake to peace in the other world."
"May she wake in torment!"
cried Heathcliff with sudden passion.
"Catherine Earnshaw, may you not rest as long as I am living. You said I killed you. Haunt me then. The murdered do haunt their murderers, I believe. Be with me always. Take any form. Drive me mad. Just don't leave me here alone without you. Oh, God, I cannot live without my life. I cannot live without my soul."
He dashed his head against the tree trunk until his forehead was stained with blood. He howled and sobbed. Not like a man, but like a savage beast in torment.